couple of weeks. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, and we're going to start in chapter 18. John chapter 18. Last week, we took a look at our surroundings, and we realized that things in America are getting worse. They're not getting much better. They're getting worse. We have in times past have put our hope in a political party or a person representing a party, thinking they could fix all of our problems, all the problems that existed, only to see this man who is full of answers do little to nothing with any lasting solutions. I showed you in Isaiah chapter 1 that what the nation of Israel looked like when the Lord had enough with his chosen people, and talked about how the nation closely resembled America today. God had created something beautiful, and once again, man had found a way to destroy it through wanting his way and not God's way. I showed you how we could fix America and make it great again if only we would follow the same instructions God had given the Hebrew children. Church, I am praying that God will give America one last chance to harvest souls before his return. Now, this morning, as we head towards Resurrection Sunday, I want to preach a message concerning Jesus giving the people he loved one last chance. Now, listen to me. It seems as we look through Scripture, especially the Old Testament, as we hold our ear up to the Old Testament, Wednesday night class, what do we hear God saying? Return to me. Return to me. As we put our ear up to the New Testament, what do we hear Jesus saying? Follow me. Follow me. This morning, Jesus is just crying out to his people. Listen, I'm giving you one last chance. One last chance. It seems like all throughout the Old Testament, God has given his people one more chance, one more chance, one more chance, one more chance. And I thank God that I am a product of a second chance and a third chance and a no chance, and I ain't got no chance. I didn't grow up in church. My parents weren't Christians. It's very unusual that a pastor comes out of a household that was pretty much apostate. But here I am. I am a hand and a product of the hand of God. So are you if you're here this morning. God loves you and he wants you to come to him. But you've got to come. You've got to take that first step. And this morning I want you to see that right before the cross, once again, Jesus is offering the opportunity for those who are around to hear him once again, one last time. One last time. So let's look at John chapter 18, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. After Jesus had said these things, he went out with the disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas took a company of soldiers and some temple police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and came with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Now, I want you to underline this next little sentence here. Then Jesus, knowing everything. Hey, I could preach just from this one sentence right here, Bill. That's powerful. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it that you're looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they answered. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, who had betrayed him, was also standing with him. When he told them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Who is it that you're looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they said. "I told you I am he," Jesus replied. "So if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the words that he had said, "I have not lost one of those who have you have given to me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. At that, Jesus said to Peter, "Sheathe your sword. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're a God of a chance, a second chance, a third chance, and a fourth chance. God, you reveal yourself on a daily basis to us that we are without excuse through your creation. God, we can look at the skies. We can even look at this pollen, Lord, that is just filling our nostrils and our lungs, Lord, and know that you're alive because you're replenishing your earth. God, we see you and we know that you're alive. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us during this time of message. God, I pray that people wouldn't see me, but they'd hear from you. They wouldn't hear from me, Lord, but they would know that they were in your presence. God, our intent this morning is that you may be known. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, what we just read was an account of the last or one of the last miracles Christ performed before he was crucified. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, well, hold on a second. Jesus did this and this and this. You are a miracle. If you're saved, you are a miracle. I'm talking about in Scripture, this is one of the, if not the last, hands-on miracles that we see Jesus performing before he is taken to the cross. Now, I want you all to perfectly understand that Jesus did what he did for a tremendous reason. And this is the reason, that he was given his people, the nation of Israel, one last chance. He's saying, look, here it is. You know, just a few chapters before, they were saying, you know, we want you to give us a miracle. Tell us definitively, are you the Messiah? And Jesus says, haven't my actions shown you that I'm the Messiah? I'm not going to give you any more miracles. But even though Jesus said, Bill, I'm not going to give you any more miracles, he still did give another miracle. Why is this? Because he loved his children. He does not want anybody to suffer and die and go to hell. If you go to hell, you choose to go to hell. I can't imagine anybody, which I want to go. No, you choose to go to hell because you do not choose Jesus. There is but one way to heaven, and that's only through Jesus. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care what your granddaddy told you. I don't care what your mama told you. If somebody told you there's another way to heaven except through the blood of Jesus, they told you a lie. I like it. Y'all are vocal this morning. Keep it up. So this morning, I want to show you, first of all, that Jesus knew. Y'all with me? Jesus knew. Verse 4 tells us that Jesus, let's read it again. Then Jesus, knowing, y'all say it, everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, who is it that you're looking for? Church, is there anything that Jesus doesn't know about you this morning? Is there anything about your past that Jesus doesn't know? Is there anything about your present that Jesus doesn't know? Is there anything about your future? Now, we don't know a lot of stuff that is going to take place in our future, but does Jesus know about what's going to take place in our future? Absolutely. He knows every hair that is on your head, or is not on your head. Every single one. So, understanding that Jesus knew, look, church, every time you open your Bible to one of the four Gospels, you need to tell yourself, start doing it right now. As you open your Bible to one of the four Gospels, tell yourself, Jesus knew. Jesus knew. He knew everything that was going to take place. Jesus knew and knows everything that has happened and is going to happen. Nothing has ever caught Jesus off guard. He has never been surprised, but always prepared to make himself known. And what we just read today is Jesus making himself known. Now, we have looked at this event in times past as a time of betrayal. And it is. It is a time of betrayal. But church, it is also a time of revelation to those who were seeking their Messiah. There were still some hanging in the balances. Dale, they were still hanging in the balances. Is he real? Is he the Messiah? Is he a fake? You know, is he just a magician? Who is this Jesus guy? They're still hanging in the balance, just as they're hanging in the balance today all over America, all over the world. Who is this Jesus man? They speculate. They wonder. And I want to stop right here for a second. This isn't my notes, but I want to tell you the same thing that was told to me. Don't trust religion. Trust Jesus. Don't pray to a religion. Pray to Jesus. I promise you, if you'll take two steps toward Jesus, he'll take 102 towards you. Come to Jesus. Now, church, understand this. Before we move any further, I want you to fully understand that Jesus knew everything that was about to happen. Everything. Now, we didn't have to see it in the Scripture to understand that because he's Jesus. But not only do we know it because he's Jesus, but Scripture tells us that he knew everything. Now, what is it that Jesus knew? As we look at this event, and we've set aside, you know, the betrayal, and we're looking at it from an eye-opening revelation to those people who were around them, what is it that Jesus knew? Well, the first thing Jesus knew was this. Jesus knew all about Judas. Now, it still surprises some of us. You know, how in the world could Judas have walked with Jesus? As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew and Mark, I believe, it's recorded that Judas was among the 12 who went out and performed miracles. He was given that power to cast out demons and to heal the sick. But yet he still denied him. He still denied. Jesus knew all about, well, Brother Kyle, can you prove that to me? Yeah, look. And John chapter 13, just a few chapters before that, let's look at verse 21. John 13, 21 says this. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in the spirit and testified, I assure you, one of you will betray me. The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of the disciples, the one Jesus beloved, and y'all, that's John talking about John there, he's good about that, was reclining close beside Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him about who it was he was talking about. So he leaned back against Jesus and asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus replied, he's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it. He had dipped the bread. He gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him, possessed him. Therefore, Jesus told him, what you're doing, do quickly. Jesus knew all the sordid details about Judas. He knew Judas was going to betray him before Judas even knew he was going to betray him. But it was scriptural. It was scriptural. It was just another piece of evidence that proved that Jesus was who he says he was. What else did Jesus know? Jesus knew who was coming for him and how they were coming. This is who was coming. A company of soldiers, some temple police, all led by Judas, and they were coming with lantern and torches, and Scripture tells us, weapons. Now, in times past in the Gospels, we've seen where they've tried to lay hands on Jesus. Y'all remember Jesus had said some things, especially our Wednesday night crowd, we've already seen it. They've tried to lay hands on Jesus, and Jesus just disappeared into the crowd. Well, why? It wasn't their time. It wasn't his time. Today, it's his time. And just as these soldiers had come, and the Scripture tells us they had come with everything necessary to take Jesus with them. They were going to seek him out. They were going to search for him. Even if the sun went down and the sun was setting, they had torches, they had lanterns, they had lamps, and they had weapons. This Jesus thing was going to be over with tonight. They were apprehending him and taking him with him. Jesus knew this. He knew it. Church, Jesus also knew that the reaction of those coming for him, what it would be when he asked, "Who have you come for?" They replied, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he knew that they would fall back to the ground, either from disbelief that an accused person would willfully say, "Yeah, that's me," or by the moving of the Holy Spirit revealing to him that he was the Messiah. Scholars speculate which one it was. But it happened. Listen, Jesus also knew who was with him in the garden. Those who were with him that night. He knew that Peter had a sword, church. Y'all know that, right? Now, remember, it says, Jesus knowing everything. Jesus knew who was with him in the garden. He knew that Peter had a sword, and church, Jesus knew exactly what Peter was going to do with that sword. Jesus knew that Peter was, at a certain point, going to draw his sword and cut the ear off of Malchus. If Jesus knew what Peter was going to do, then why didn't he stop him? Brother Frankie knew, right? Why didn't he stop him? Jesus did not stop Peter because he was going to use this event to once again proclaim to the world who he was. Well, who is he? He is the Son of God. Not a Son of God. He is the Son of God. Jesus knew it was going to happen and he allowed it to happen. Well, what did Jesus do by allowing this to happen? What is it that Jesus did? Church, first of all, I want you to see this. When Jesus knew all these events were taking place, Jesus didn't run. Now, when we know that there's trouble coming, what do we normally do? We run. Trey, when the police show up, what does the criminal usually do? Run. They know that they've been caught. Jesus knew that he was getting ready to be captured. Mr. White, he didn't run. He knew that his time was at hand. Church, he embraced it. He embraced every moment of it. Well, what else did Jesus know? Verse 10 tells us that Jesus healed Malchus's ear. Where do you see that, Brother Kyle? It's not in the book of John that he healed it. In the book of Luke, it is. Read the harmony of the Gospels. He healed Malchus's ear. He healed him. Have any of y'all ever cut? I mean, we've all had cuts, right? I've had cuts. When I worked at the foundry, I had cuts all over my hands. I used to have to soak my hands because my hands would look just, they were terrible. Nails always black. I'm just cracks. I always had to put lotion on my hands. I don't have to do that anymore. Well, sometimes I do. But I'd get cuts everywhere. You know, have you ever cut your head? I mean, that dude bleeds and bleeds and bleeds and bleeds. When we were at our last church, I was shaving my head, and it was fairly new to me, and I nicked the side of my ear. That thing would not quit bleeding. I mean, I put pressure on it. I sat there and just held it, and every time I took it off, it would start bleeding again. I finally had to go up to the fire department, and they put one of those little cauterized things on it, and it stopped bleeding just like that. But I couldn't make my ear stop bleeding. When I was a child, I was jumping on a trampoline. Y'all know where this story's going, don't you? And fell through the thing, and I hit my head right there on the bar. Now, of course, I didn't ask my mom if I could go jump on the trampoline before I was jumping on the trampoline. So I tried. I tried to make that thing stop bleeding, but I couldn't. There's something about when you cut your head or on your head. It's bloody. It seems to me like it's more bloody. Brother Kyle, where are you going with this? Just hold on. We'll get there here in a second. Something else Jesus knew. Jesus then told Peter, after the the ear was cut off. He said, Peter, sheathe your sword. Am I not to drink the cup that has been given to me? Now, listen, think with me here for a second. What did this do for Peter? Peter was ready to fight. And he did fight. These words that Jesus said to Peter right then, did it have a lasting impact on Peter? Well, yeah. Yeah, Peter was ready to fight. But if we fast forward and we look in the book of Acts chapter 12, let me get this right, Acts chapter 12, verse 6, we find Peter now in prison. And he's bound between two guards. He's getting ready to be put to death the next morning. We don't see Peter swinging and hollering and kicking and cussing and fighting. You know what we find Peter doing? Sleeping. He's at peace. He's embraced what God has given him, just as we see Jesus embracing the coming cross. Church, everything Jesus did concerning this event was an open view for all to see. This event was intentional that one last time he could make himself known. Now, you may be sitting there this morning saying, I didn't see anything that was remarkable to the effect that the gospel would spread. Well, let's consider what happened that's not recorded. What took place here spread the gospel message. Y'all with me? Brother Kyle, I don't see it. What is it that you see that I don't see? Here we go. First thing, every person who was in the garden, church, they saw the blood. He cut his whole ear off. All I did was nick my ear. Peter cut his whole ear off. I don't think they had a first aid kit there, Ryan, do you? That ear was bleeding profusely. Every person who was there saw the blood. They saw Malchus' ear lying on the ground. They stood in horror as Jesus walked to Malchus, picked up the ear, and reattached it to his head. Church, most of those who were there this day came in opposition of Christ. But what do you think they would be talking about until their death? They would be talking about being there that day. And church, that is spreading the gospel. They didn't even know what they were doing, but they were spreading the gospel. Yes, sir, I was there that day. I was one of the temple police. Hey, look here, wake up. I was one of the temple police. I saw it. I saw that apostle pull out his sword and strike his ear off. I saw the ear laying on the ground. I saw blood running down his robe. I saw Jesus walk up, grab the ear off the ground, maybe wipe off the dirt. He didn't have to, but he might have wiped off the dirt, and reattach that ear. I saw Malchus reach up and grab his ear and do what we would instinctively do to make sure that it's really attached. What would we do? We'd pull that dude. He didn't have any more pain. I saw his ear reattach, but I saw all the blood. I couldn't deny it. And every time he tells this story, Brother Frank, he is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, think with me for a moment. Just for a moment. Malchus had come with those who were wanting to arrest Christ. Y'all with me? That means that Malchus did not believe Christ was who he said he was. Do you think that Malchus changed his mind once he received the touch from the Savior? Listen to me. Malchus was now more than an observer. He was an active participant of the gospel. If someone healed you in such a way, would you keep this healing quiet? Malcolm was now that he was healed, was a walking, talking miracle pointing to the gospel. And the fact that Christ was the Messiah all the days of Malchus's life. Every time someone saw Malchus from that day forward, they would point at him and say, there he is. Look at him. Did y'all hear about that thing that took place in the garden where that guy's ear fell off? There he is. There's Malchus. He's walking around. See, he's got both his ears. Go talk to him and ask him. He was a walking, talking billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ. How about the temple police? How about them? And the soldiers? Church, they had to give a report to what took place in the garden. Trey, I'm sure one of the least favorite things you have to do after you do your 8 or 10 hours is to fill out paperwork, isn't it? Isn't it fun? Hey, listen, they had to give a report as to what took place in the garden. Now, they might not be believed by those they're telling, but the story would still be told and heard. Those who heard would have to make a conscious decision to either accept what they hear as false or truth. So the temple police go back. They turn Jesus in. The priests say, you know, did everything go well? And say, well, it didn't go real well at first. We thought we were going to have an altercation. One of the followers, before they all ran away, pulled out a sword and struck Malchus, struck his ear off. Now, great chance that Malchus was right there standing with them. Well, hold on a second. Didn't you just say he struck Malchus's ear off? Well, yeah. You see the blood all over his robe? Well, yeah. But he's got both ears. Yeah. We don't understand it either. How can this be? They had to make another conscious decision before they falsely accused him, before they had a mock trial, before they beat him. They consciously, one last time, had to discard that he was the Messiah. He'd given them another evidence. But they didn't believe. Church, just that this event is recorded bears witness to the fact that the event took place. This event bears witness to who Jesus is and who we are to be. God has called each of us to be this type of witness. All of us. Church, what we saw today was a miracle. It was. It could be that was the last physical miracle that took place before Jesus was crucified. Jesus reattached an ear that was completely severed from the head of a man, and with the touch of his hand. I did some research about ear reattachment. You know, they didn't have the ability to reattach limbs that were amputated back then. Y'all know that, right? Medical doctors didn't have that ability. Today, the ear is one of the hardest things to reattach. It's tough. New research in the last 10 years, you know what they use to get the blood circulating so they can reattach that ear because it's in such a peculiar place? Leeches. They put leeches around the outside edge and they get the blood circulating again and they reattach and hope everything lines up. But Jesus did it with the touch of his hand. Church, what Jesus has done for us is much greater than what we saw him do with Malchus in the garden. What Jesus has done for us is much greater than what he did for Malchus. Church, we should feel more compelled to be a witness for Jesus that he has called us to be than Malchus did. My question to you is this: will you be that witness? Will you tell the world what Jesus did to you? That's all he's asking for you to do. He's asking you to testify, to be a witness. Tell the world how he changed your life and he snatched you out of the pits of hell. Listen to me. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know why you came. I don't know how you came. I don't know if you were invited by a friend. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Verse 4 tells us, then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, who is it that you're looking for? I don't know how you're here or why you're here. Listen to me. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He let this event take place in Scripture that those who saw would have one last chance to believe that He was the Son of God and come to Him. Listen, this is recorded in Scripture, and it was preached today. If you're here, it might be that this is your last chance. This is your last chance. This is your last chance to hear the gospel message and receive Him as your personal Savior. This is it. You'll not be given another chance. You've played with God. You've played with religion. You dress up. You come Sunday morning every now and then, but you've never been serious with God. And this is God giving you one last chance to say, listen, get serious with me right now. I don't know who you are, but Jesus knows. Will you make a decision for Him this morning? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, we know that You're here. We can feel Your presence. We felt Your presence throughout the service, through the singing. God, we know You're here. And right now I pray that Your Spirit would move on the heart of the person who needed to hear this message the most. That person who has waited and waited and waited and waited. And once again, You've revealed Yourself and You've shown Yourself to be real, God. I pray that You would give them the strength to walk down this aisle and be shown in Scripture what each person must do to have eternal life. Nothing else needs to be said, Lord. We pray that Your Spirit would move. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will You come?